And the baptisms, we're going to have a class after this service, and we are going to the Hughes Pond to do the baptisms today. Baptism is another, it's serious. It's a sacrament, and it's an act of grace, and it's so important that we understand baptism and being a part of God's community. You know what? It's really, that's how things begin to connect and work, when you begin to put them together. You see that? And you begin to really be a part of something. You know, if you're just always out, you know, in the stands looking, but you're not a part of it, you know, you're never going to win the game. You see that? You can't win the game. But when you get in there and be a part of it, you used to help to win. We need each other to do this. Amen? All right. Go with me to Mark's Gospel. Chapter 4. And we're going to look at verse 14 through 20. The sower sows the word. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes in immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Verse 16. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. Verse 17. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Verse 18. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit. Some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for this day. Father, we thank you for all that you're doing in our hearts. Lord, we ask that you make our hearts good soil today. Lord, to receive your word, the implanted word, the very word that's able to save our souls. Father, let none of us remain the same. Clear our minds and our hearts to receive from you today, Father, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, amen, amen, and amen. Now, could you put up the chart for me? Okay, we're back to our chart. And I'm going to do a quick recap of what... Okay, right here, remember, the Spirit, when we're born again, right? We become a new creation. We're a new creation in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "We behold, old things have passed away, all things have become new. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus." When that word creation means species of a spirit. You are not the same. You are not a product of your parents when you become born again. You're born again. You are different. Total change. That's important to understand that. That's important to get that. And so what happens is, now we have to, everything we have in God is in the Spirit. Ephesians 1:3 says we have all spiritual blessings. Everything is in the Spirit, right here. Everything this the Bible says that's ours, it's ours. And it's in the spiritual realm when you're born again. Now, it's your and my part to get it out of there, to get it working. You see that? And that's what we want to work it from here into our soul, and then from our soul out our body and out into the manifestation, into the physical realm. That's the idea. So it's so important that we understand what we're talking about. In 1 Corinthians 6:17, it says that when we're born again, our spirit and the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, become one. They become one. And nothing can change that. Nothing can change that. You cannot lose it. It's a done deal. When it's called redemption. When redemption takes place in the Spirit, it's a done work. But you can reject Christ. It talks about in Hebrews chapter 6. And you can, but you have to be mature in the faith even to walk away from it. You see that? You have to be mature. You have to really know what you're doing to reject Christ, to walk away from it. And that way, you're not losing it, you're rejecting it. So you really can't lose your salvation. But you can reject it and walk away from it. But you have to do it in a mature way. Now, here's what I want to bring out. Remember the iniquity? The Bible says your sins and iniquities have been passed on to you as far as 3 and 4 generations, Exodus 34:7. So those sins and iniquities are different. Sin was dealt with at redemption on the cross. The blood of Jesus has cleansed us from all sin, past, present, future. That doesn't mean you're never going to sin anymore. But now the sin issue is dealt with. That is no longer the problem in your life. The problem is right here, these iniquities. Okay? That's the problem. And see, the iniquities, remember, it's an inward bent towards destruction. That's what it means. So it's a pattern inside of you that's come from your father, your grandfather, as far back as 3, 4 generations. You know, remember I always shared that my wife was pregnant when I got married. My dad, my mom was pregnant when they got married. My grandpa and my grandma was pregnant when they got all the. And then when my son got married, he was a virgin. And so I changed it by teaching him this truth and understanding this. Because I was experiencing the ramifications of the iniquity. Am I making sense? So now think about this. The idea is to get the truth. Jesus said, sanctify them in John 17. He said, sanctify them with your truth, for your word is truth. So we get God's word, and we get it in our spirit, and it becomes part of us, and now it works its way out into this iniquity, and it drives those patterns out of our life. The truth comes against that negative pattern. In 1 Corinthians 13:6, it says, love does not rejoice in iniquity, but love rejoices in the truth. Now, 1 John 4:8 says, God is love. God is love. Everybody say, God is love. God is love. Now, so we could say 1 Corinthians 13:6 like this. God does not rejoice in iniquity, but God rejoices in the truth. God rejoices when you are getting the truth and you are becoming what He created you to be. God gets happy about you becoming you. Isn't that important? Do you see that? God is excited when you become the real you. Now, in Proverbs 16:7, it says, when a man's ways please the Lord, even his enemies will be at peace with him. You see, when you're pleasing God, he's working on your behalf. And he's defeating those enemies in your life. But we got to get the truth on the matter. You see that? We got to get the truth on the matter. And that's how we rise above and get these iniquities out of our life. And that's in our soul. So our soul is where we make all our decisions. Our soul is really what we live out of. And that's why, you know, you hear somebody say, well, we're going to go save a bunch of souls. That's not good teaching. You can't save a bunch of souls. People can be born again through your ministry if you preach God's word, and it's the power of the word of God and the Holy Spirit doing it. That's how people get born again. But getting saved is an ongoing process. If you were to die after you became born again, you would go to heaven. But if you're born again, how many of you know when you stood up after praying the prayer of repentance and you became born, there's a lot of stuff you got to change. That's the soul. That's what needs to be lined up in God's Word. You know, you look in the mirror and, you know, some people, you know what? A lot of us are like, we look at our father and we say, we don't want to be like our father. And a lot of us are doing a lot of what our father did. We love him. We love our father. But we don't want to, there's some things we don't want to be like. We don't want, and we look at our mother and we love them, but we don't want to be like them. There's some, you know, remember I told you about my dad's booty do and different things? There's a lot more than that. But it's the idea is, if I'm not going to be like that, I have to get this truth on who I am, because you're not a product of your parents. Someone gave me this saying. It says, mirror, mirror on the wall, I am my mother after all. Boy, there's some truth to that, isn't there? If you don't get this truth on it, you're going to be just like them. And you know what? You're going to pass the same stuff on to them. Your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. But if you get the truth on the matter, you're going to break those patterns. And your kids and your grandkids are going to be able to experience the benefit of your decision, of the choices you make. That's why he says in Deuteronomy 30, he says, I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. And that word live is the God kind of life. In other words, the choices that we make are affecting our descendants. You see that? This is huge. And then and then we want to complain about young people or what's going on in our society when we're not doing anything within ourselves. See that? I know I'm preaching a little bit now, but that's okay. It's quiet in this Presbyterian church. Do you see this? This is so important. Now, here we are, Mark's Gospel, chapter 4. We've been talking about this sowing the word. Now, remember the word is truth, right? Sanctify them with your truth, for thy word is truth. He says, the sower sows the word. Now, in verse 13 of this chapter, Mark 4, he says, and he said to them, Jesus, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? He says, if you don't understand this parable of the sower sows the word, how are you going to understand the rest of my teachings? You see that? Folks, I'm convinced that there are churches all over America that don't understand this simple parable of the sower sows the word. He says, if you don't understand this, you're going to have trouble understanding anything else that I teach. We have to get us some understanding. The sower sows the word, right? Now, remember, last week I shared with you. Don't, no, they're all right. Look up here. Last week I shared that these archaeologists, they were going through these Egyptian tombs, right? And they found this seed in these bowls, and the seed was over 3,000 years old. And they discovered this seed and how old it was, and they researched it and then they went and they planted it in good soil, watered it, nurtured it, bloop, bloop, started growing. For 3,000 years, it sat in them bowls dormant and didn't produce anything. But as soon as it got into the right environment and it was nurtured, it began to produce. You see, that's the way the word is. The power and potential is in the word. It's not in a man. It's not in your education. It's not in how pretty you are or how cute you are or how you look or how gifted you are. It's in the Word of God. You see this? That's where the power and the potential is. And it's in there. And it will never be released and it will never come out until it's planted in good soil. And I'm telling you, the right conditions is the body of Christ. When the word is planted in you and you are in the body of Christ, folks, that is an environment where the truth and the fruit is going to be produced in your life. That God's word is going to release its power in you. It can't be out there by yourself. It won't be. It's always going to be in the body of Christ where God created us to be connected to. Am I making sense? So, the sower sows the word, right? Now, verse 15. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Now go with me, hold your place in Mark 4 and go with me to Matthew 13. And this is the same parable that Jesus is teaching. It's Matthew's account. Hold your place in Mark 4 and go to Matthew 13, verse 18. I'm doing a little recap, but you need to hear this again. It's important to keep hearing. Faith comes by hearing and by hearing. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. So wayside soil is not understanding. You see, that's why you and I have to do our part to understand the word that we hear. It's our part to get the understanding. Are you with me? And God, the Holy Spirit, it says in this Mark chapter 4, verse 34, it says when the disciples got alone, Jesus explained everything to them. Folks, you got it. We got to spend some time by ourselves with God. And get this word in us, and he will begin to speak it and give you understanding. You see that? He will give you understanding. And that's our part. Don't just come here and hear what I have to say or hear what's going on and what's being get this and get some of it in your own heart. Get alone with God. And I'm not putting a religious thing on you. I'm just saying, if you'll do that, God will bring some understanding in your heart. And then you're no longer wayside soil. Now think about this. In Proverbs 4:7, it says, in all you're getting, get understanding. He says, in all you're getting, in everything you get understanding. That's what he says. That's the primary thing. And then he says, in Proverbs 2:10-11, remember, discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you and deliver you from the evil way. So when you have understanding, it has the power and potential to keep you from the evil way. From the reoccurring negative things, lifestyles. Are you with me? And then it says this. And it will keep you from the evil way and from the wicked man that speaks against you. In other words, when you have you some understanding and you know who you are and it's in you, no matter what people say out here or even in here about you, you're going to be secure and you're going to be confident because you're beginning to know who you really are. Are you listening to me? Because I'm here to tell you, when you start seeking God, people are going to talk about you. People are going to say things about you. But you know what? You can't be concerned about that. When you understand who you are, now, and you begin to be confident of who you are, now it's you and God, and now you're really getting something. You see that? But too many people aren't getting this. And so they're all everywhere, and they're into all kinds of different things, and they're never getting any understanding. That's why Paul said in Ephesians 4:18, he said, don't walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened and being alienated from the life of God because of their ignorance. Because of their ignorance. The word ignorance means to ignore. When we just ignore God's word and it's not a major part of our life, then folks, it adds the potential to separate us and alienate us from the life God created us for. And then we wonder why this doesn't work. It does work. If we will work it, we have to work it. Am I making sense? Understanding is huge. When you get understanding, now you can stand under anything that comes against you. Am I making sense? That's huge. We have to get some understanding. So what's the second soil? Let's look at this. You see, right here. If you got you some understanding, the word, the truth, Jesus said, I'm looking for people who worship me in spirit and what? Truth. John 4:24. You see, I always quote the verse, don't I? You know why? Because that's important. Because I'm not giving you my ideas and my thoughts. I'm giving you what God says. Right? Now look at this. If you get you some understanding in here and you got an anger problem, and now you get the word of God on it, and it says that we're to walk in peace and we're to have the fruit of the spirit of gentleness, now you have gentleness and you have kindness. You see? And you see that? And now that's going to come out of you. And you know, and rage, you know how people are always, when they're driving, they get rage, road rage or whatever. You're not going to be waving at people with one finger when somebody pulls out in front of you. You're not going to get mad and just blow out. You're going to have used some kindness and some gentleness, right? Because there's a power in you working. God's word is working. So, okay, let's look at this. Next soil, verse 16. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, then tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, and immediately they stumble. That word stumble means to be offended. They get hurt. You ever get around people who are always getting hurt? That's selfish. That's selfish. When you're always getting hurt, you know who you're focused on? Yourself. You see, God wants you to love His word and what He says about you more than what people are saying about you and hurting you. You see that? When you're always getting your feelings hurt and you're getting hurt, and you see that? That is selfishness. You're focused on yourself. That's huge. How many people go to church and get hurt and leave and you know, well, they hurt me there, and then they want to go somewhere else, and then they hurt them there. And you know what? They're 80 years old, and they just lived a life of being hurt, and they never grew, nothing, but and they haven't affected anything. You see this? That can happen. That's why we can't get hurt. Because, see, folks, listen, that happens when we don't have roots. You see that? When we don't have roots. Roots are below the surface. When we have roots and we have, they're down below the surface, people can hurt us and we're still going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. Am I making sense? Because it says that we're to be grounded and rooted in the love of God. In the love of God. And when we have roots, folks, see, it says they have no roots in themselves. In other words, people are coming to churches all over America, and they're hearing what the preacher has to say. They're hearing what his word is and what he got from God, and they're relying on that. And that's okay. You should do that to a point. But you need to take some of this word that we're preaching and go home and write it down and get it in you and let it take root. Because it says in James 1:21, it's the implanted word that's able to save your soul. That's able to save your soul. It's the word that's planted in you. Not what you just listen to. You got to get it in you. Right? And when it's in you, it's going to produce something. And folks, how many times do people, they come to church and they receive the Lord and then they get hurt. They never allowed the root system to take place. You see? They want to see, or they come to church and they want what they see others doing, and people who have been in the church for a while and have grown, they want what they have right away. It doesn't happen right away. It takes time. It takes time to grow roots. I remember reading about the bamboo tree, and the bamboo tree, the root system grows for 3 years until anything comes up above the ground. It takes patience and time, right? The root system, it takes time to grow those roots. But when you have roots, you're going to produce something. And all hell can come against you. See, people will come and hear the word, and then somebody will say something, persecution, Tribulation comes, and then you back off, and you can't stand up and share or say really what you believe. You've just your roots are plucked out. You see that? There's no you don't want to deal with anything they might say or make fun of you about. Your roots are plucked out. But when you'll look them in the eye and you'll tell them what you believe and what you've heard, then now your roots are starting to take place. You hear that? And I'm going to tell you what, that's what it's going to take in the hour that we're living in. Persecution and stuff is coming. You think we don't even know what it is. But folks, it can come no matter what. Well, you say, why does it come? It comes for the word's sake. Well, if it comes for the word's sake, why do I want to get any word in me if everything's going to come at me? That's the way it works. Because that's the way it works. That's where the power is. That's where you are starting to change and you are starting to really affect your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. You see that? You are affecting, you're changing their life because of the choices you're making. And people at work and wherever your words have weight and power. That's why he says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, it's sounding brass and clanging. It's a bunch of noise. See, if you don't have no roots and you're not grounded in the love of God, there's no love behind it, then your words are noise. But when you have love behind it and a relationship with God and you're rooted, folks, stuff happens when you show up and you speak. Are you with me? Stuff happens. Now, I remember my grandpa had a tree, a big walnut tree in the backyard. One big walnut tree. I mean, I think that thing was like 7 or 8 feet round. And my grandma was always upset because the squirrels would tear up her bushes and her flowers and stuff. So she says, let's cut that tree down. So they cut it down. They cut it down to the ground. So then my grandpa, he poured gasoline on it, lit it on fire, burned the stump that was level to the ground. Then he had me take an axe to it and chop it. No, chop it up. Just chop it up as much as you can. I chopped that thing up. Next year, bloop, bloop. It's growing back. Then he had me drive copper nails in it. He read copper nails will kill the roots. Well, we put all kinds of copper nails in this stump. Next year, bloop, bloop. You couldn't get rid of it because it had a root system. That's the way it is. When you have roots, nothing's going to stop it. You see that? It's going to continue to produce, and it's going to continue to advance God's kingdom. Because the power is in the word. And when it's planted in you, it's going to produce. It's going to be released. It's not about how much scripture you memorize. It's what you get implanted in you. Now, let's look at this next soil. And we got another hour, but we'll be all right. The next soil, verse 18. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. So what do we got? We got the first soil is wayside soil. Second soil was what? Huh? Stony soil, right? Full of rocks. Okay. Verse 18. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Now, thorns, thorny ground. Anybody ever been around a thorny person? I mean, they just prick you to be around them. They're just, no matter what you do, they're just bitter, right? No matter how much you, whatever you do for them, they're just bitter. They just scratch you, and you know, you don't even have to get close. You just, ugh, thorny. Am I talking about the right people? You guys know what I'm saying? Well, that's thorny soil. Can't grow anything in there, can you? You keep trying to plant something in there, and it just, they come back with something negative. See that? Now, look what happens here. Then it says, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things entering in, choke out the word. Cares, you know what cares are? Anxieties. Worries. When you're worried, that's negative meditation. When you're worried about things, God is trying to get his word to you and through you, but you're choking it out because you're worried about what something looks like or what somebody said about you or, you know, what's going on in the economy. You see, that's worry. God doesn't want you worrying. The cares of this life. You know, what else could that be? Negative meditation. You know what God says? He says in Joshua, meditate in his word, what? Day and night. And then you will have good success and prosper. Well, you say, well, that's okay for you. You're a preacher. That's for everybody. He's the one that possessed all that God had for him. That's for everybody. Well, I got to go to work. I got to go to work sometime. Well, you think about your problems and all your worries at work, right? Just start thinking about a word. Get a word. I'm going to tell you what. Do what I'm asking you, and you'll see it change something in your life. You will see your day go different. Think on what he says more than your worries and problems and your cares of this life. I'm telling you, and it will keep that being from being choked out in you. Write a word down. Write it down. I used to write scriptures down and memorize them. I'd be at work just to drive out all the stuff that was around me. And I did my job fine. What you laughing at? Now, where are we at? Cares of this life. What about sports? Oh, he's going to preach on sports. No, there's nothing wrong with sports. I like sports. I go to Dragons games, Reds games. I like basketball games. My kids were in sport. I think sports are great. They have they add to your life because there's disciplines and there's a lot that goes with it. But I'm going to tell you, some people can take that way off the chart. Are you with me? They can take it way off, and that becomes something that they're a care that they care about, and it just is keeping them from hearing anything from God. I had a guy that I worked with. I used to work for Miles Laboratories, and then it became Bayer Corporation, people that make Bayer aspirin. I used to work for them before I came here. And when it was Miles Laboratory, I had a friend, and I went to his wedding. I remember when his kids were born, and he was educated. He was a smart young man. And so I had my son one day, and he asked me to come over for dinner and watch a Browns game. I thought, well, good. I'll take him over there and put him around some good influence, my son, you know. And because he went to church regularly at Christian Life Center, and he was, you know, that's what he wanted to do with his family. He was a good guy. And so we go over to his house, and he comes to the door in a Browns shirt, Browns pants, Browns shoes, and we walk in the front door, and it's a Browns carpet, and then we go into the room where he has his pool table, and it's Browns everything. I mean, brown flags on the wall, Browns little bobbin heads on the mantle, and just Browns everything. And then the game started. And man, it was like, shut your mouth. You know, he went into a whole other world. And he put on this dog thing on his head. And then he started barking. I'm thinking, I don't know if I'm going to bring my boy back over here. I mean, really, I'm telling you the serious truth. And then they lost. Oh, man, he went into depression. And then it's like, and then we're leaving. It's like, you know, it's like we didn't even exist, you know. See you later, so-and-so. Well, yeah. It was like he was in another world. They lost. But now listen. Then I heard that some friends that he went to school with came over to watch a Browns game. One of them had him some cocaine. He got involved in cocaine. He ended up losing his job. He lost his family. Wife left him. He lost everything he had. But here, why am I telling you that? When I think about his life, this guy went to church every Sunday. had everything going for him. But he was so wrapped up in that sport that it kept God from communicating to him. And it literally made room for that other stuff to get into his life. That's an extreme case. But folks, that's how it works. You see this? And the deceitfulness of riches. Folks, wealth can keep you from... People get so caught up and they're worried about money. And it can actually keep you from hearing from God. They're so consumed with money. And the making of money. Because of what money can do. Folks, listen to me. I would rather live in a hut in Haiti with Jesus than in a high rise in Hawaii without him. Deceitfulness of riches. Jesus said to the lukewarm church in Revelation 3, he said, "You are neither cold nor hot. You have become lukewarm." The word lukewarm means neutral. And neutral means the position of a gear where no power is being translated. He says, "You're lukewarm." And then it goes on to say, he says, "You think because you're rich and wealthy that you have need of nothing, but you don't know that you are wretched, wicked, blind, and naked." They had mistaken their material wealth for spiritual maturity. Some people think, "Well, I'm blessed. Shoot, I got me a big house and cars and I got everything I need. I'm blessed. God's blessed me." That's not always the case. The devil will give you stuff. I remember my in-laws had a place down on Marco Island, and we'd go on this boat and these big houses and these cars and everything. And you'd see them out there eating. You'd think, these people got it together. Just by looking, and I find out they're drug dealers. You hear what I'm saying? That can be deceiving, can it? Is this making sense? The deceitfulness of riches can come in and choke out what God is trying to get to you. One more soil. You ready? Y'all awake out there? Are you getting anything out of this? You worried about lunch? One more. Good ground. Look what it says. Verse 20. "But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Good ground is the last soil. That's the one who's producing. Now, quickly, go with me to Luke's Gospel, chapter 8, and hold your place there. Luke 8. Verse 15. This is Luke's account of the same teaching that Jesus was doing. Verse 15. "But the ones that fell on good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, kept it and bear fruit with patience." With patience. See, folks, it's going to take some patience in our life. Some patience. Now, good ground, good heart. That, the word good, remember, in the Greek language means clear and single. In other words, the ground was clear. God spoke to me one morning and says, "Less is best." The ground that had less was the ground that was the best ground. Sometimes less is best. Did you get that? You don't have all the thorns and rocks and stuff to clear out. The soil is just there for God to work in. Less is best. That's good ground. Clear and single. That's what a heart is. Clear and single. Focused on God. Wanting to hear the word. That's the one who's going to produce the fruit with patience. Remember? Patience. Patience is huge when it comes to the kingdom of God. Remember, love is patient. Patience is the first attribute of love. Patience, in Luke 21:19, it says this: possess your soul with patience. Did you get that? Possess your soul with patience. See, get that word in you, get you some patience, and get control of your soul. You ought to write that verse down and get it in your mouth so you can speak it without even looking it up. Luke 21:19, say it with me. Possess your soul with patience. Folks, listen to me. That is a soul that's on its way to being healthy and being saved. Am I making sense today? I love preaching this stuff. Where's my music people? Come on up, my music people. The youth band.